Picture this, Haiti, 1981. A tiny nun in a white sari embraces Michel Duvalier, wife of one of the Caribbean's most brutal dictators. Before national cameras, Mother Teresa praises the Duvaliers, the same couple who would soon flee with millions stolen from one of the world's poorest nations. This wasn't a photo ambush or diplomatic accident. It was a genuine alliance that reveals something unsettling. The woman the world revered as the ultimate servant of the poor was cozying up to those who oppressed them most. What happens when we place someone beyond criticism? When we decide certain figures are too virtuous, too selfless, too sacred to examine closely? Christopher Hitchens dared to ask these questions about one of the 20th century's most untouchable icons, and what he uncovered challenges everything we thought we knew about charity, faith, and the machinery of sainthood itself. Agnès Bojaxhu's transformation into Mother Teresa began in 1969 when British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge arrived in Calcutta with a BBC crew. He portrayed the city as an unbearable hellhole, ignoring its vibrant culture and existing social services to create a dramatic backdrop for her work. During filming at her home for the dying, the dimly lit facility appeared bathed in ethereal light. Muggeridge proclaimed it the first authentic photographic miracle, divine intervention captured on camera. Cameraman Ken McMillan had a simpler explanation. New Kodak film that performed exceptionally well in low light. Before he could credit the technology, Muggeridge had declared it divine light, and a legend was born. Mother Teresa's own words revealed her true mission. After showing a small orphanage, she stated, "See, this is how we fight abortion and contraception, not how we help abandoned children or how we serve the poor." Her orphanage was a living argument against family planning. Her work was fundamentally about advancing conservative Catholic doctrine, not primarily alleviating suffering. The gap between reputation and reality becomes starkest inside Mother Teresa's facilities. In 1994, Dr. Robin Fox from The Lancet documented alarming practices. No diagnostic equipment, needles rinsed in cold water and reused, virtually no pain management beyond aspirin. These weren't resource limitations, they reflected deliberate choices. Volunteers described patients with shaved heads on stretcher beds, inadequate medical attention, and refusal to transfer patients to hospitals even when simple treatments could save lives. "You are suffering like Christ on the cross, so Jesus must be kissing you," Mother Teresa told a cancer patient writhing in agony. The patient's response cuts through the theology. "Then please tell him to stop kissing me." Yet when Mother Teresa herself fell ill, she sought treatment at the finest Western clinics. Susan Shields, who spent 9 years as a missionary of charity nun, described a cult-like atmosphere requiring absolute obedience. Mother Teresa rejected practical improvements like storing food or installing government-funded elevators. These weren't places designed to alleviate suffering. They were theaters where suffering was reframed as spiritual purification, and the poor became props in a performance of religious virtue. Mother Teresa claimed, "We give free service to the poor." Yet Susan Shields revealed the organization held approximately $50 million in a single Bronx account, just one of many worldwide. "The money was not being used for the poor," Shields explained. "It had no effect on our ascetic lives or on the lives of the poor we were trying to help." Her prize winnings, Noble, Templeton, and Balzan, brought substantial sums that could have built world-class medical facilities. Instead, the money disappeared into unaccounted accounts while patients received primitive care. Most damning was her relationship with Charles Keating, convicted of massive fraud. Keating donated $1.25 million of stolen money and lent her his private jet. When he faced prosecution, she wrote seeking clemency. Prosecutor Paul Turley explained Keating had defrauded 17,000 people of $252 million and challenged her to return the money. She never replied. This pattern reveals profound hypocrisy. While preaching against materialism and glorifying poverty, her organization amassed enormous wealth that wasn't directed toward improving care, exposing a kingdom very much of this world. What was Mother Teresa's true mission? Susan Shields revealed sisters secretly baptized dying Hindus and Muslims by pretending to cool their foreheads. They'd ask patients in danger of death if they wanted a ticket to heaven. An affirmative answer meant baptism, performed while appearing to simply cool the patient's head. This practice reveals a fundamental truth. For Mother, it was the spiritual well-being of the poor that mattered most. Material aid was a means of reaching their souls. Physical suffering was secondary to spiritual salvation, explaining why medical care remained primitive despite ample resources. Her fierce opposition to family planning aligns with this worldview. At a 1989 meeting, she declared she would never allow couples who had abortions to adopt her babies. Her work represented the church's conversion imperative. The poor weren't simply people to be helped, but souls to be harvested, with or without informed consent. This distinction fundamentally changes how we understand her mission. Mother Teresa claimed to avoid politics, yet her interventions reveal sophisticated timing aligned with conservative causes. After the 1984 Bhopal disaster killed thousands, she immediately urged victims to forgive, effectively containing secular outrage rather than supporting justice. Her alignments were remarkably consistent. She backed clerical forces opposing progressive legislation in post-Franco Spain, arranged a private meeting with Margaret Thatcher about abortion, and praised Ronald Reagan for loving the people so tenderly despite his administration's social program cuts. In Latin America, she admonished Nicaragua's leftist Sandinistas while ignoring CIA-backed Contras targeting schools and clinics. During Guatemala's military repression, she remarked, "Everything was peaceful in the parts we visited." The pattern's significance isn't that she held political views, everyone does, but that she maintained an image of being beyond politics while consistently supporting conservative causes. This preserved her moral authority while functioning as an influential political operator, her selective speaking and strategic silence becoming powerful tools despite claims of transcending political concerns. Mother Teresa achieved extraordinary veneration by serving different constituencies' needs. For the Catholic Church, she symbolized traditional values amid declining religious influence. For Western donors and politicians, she offered absolution, reassurance that someone addressed third-world poverty without requiring systemic change or personal sacrifice. Her image reduced complex global problems to individual charity rather than systemic justice. She became useful to conservative religious forces, political leaders seeking moral legitimacy, and wealthy donors desiring absolution without addressing structural inequality. Her simplistic maxims, telling the poor to smile more or suggesting suffering brings them closer to Jesus, were uncritically celebrated as profound wisdom. The most profound challenge is confronting our reluctance to question those deemed beyond reproach. This resistance reveals our desire for moral certainty. We need moral courage to see beyond reverence to complex reality, not to destroy heroes, but to understand them as fully human. No one should be beyond thoughtful criticism, especially those with enormous influence over vulnerable populations.